This is Matt Rabel, filling in for John Lothian, here to bring you your JLN Daily Update from today's newsletter, dated September 28th, 2020. Let's get down to business. Our first read for the day comes to us from JLN editor Tom Thompson, in the form of an article entitled DOJ Obtains Mixed Verdicts in Spoofing Case. A COVID-19 depleted jury returned unanimous verdicts for each of the 17 counts in the criminal spoofing case brought against two former Deutsche Bank traders, James Forley and Cedric Chenu. The decisions by the 11 jurors were announced late on Friday afternoon at the Dirksen Courthouse on South Dearborn Street in Chicago. The charges stemmed from illicit trading activities that occurred between 2008 and 2013. The two traders worked together on the precious metals futures desk in London until Chenu moved to the Singapore office, where he served in the same role before leaving the bank in 2013. Forley was found guilty on 3 of 9 charges against him. Chenu was found guilty on 7 of 11 charges. They were charged with wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Deutsche Bank earlier agreed to $30 million to settle related charges with the CFTC. To read the rest of this commentary, go to johnlothiannews.com. Now let's take a look at some hits and takes from John Lothian and the JLN staff. John Lothian writes, "The New York Times dropped a bombshell of a story about President Donald Trump's financial and tax-paying history on Sunday. One can only guess the impact this news will have on the upcoming presidential election. But one can see now why President Trump so desperately wanted to keep his taxes private." From a reader, quote, "Exchange-traded derivatives educator to thousands of people, Kevin Baldwin passed away yesterday after complications of a long illness. Kevin had taught and traveled the world for over 20 years at REFCO, the NFA, IFM, and OCC. He also peppered his career as an MD of an innovative IB in NYC." End quote. A longtime reader with a history of working for banks reached out to me about our new video series, The Path to Electronic Trading. He helped deploy several of the leading platforms for electronic trading. This will be a great addition to the series. If you have a story of how you played a part in the path to electronic trading, please contact me. Bridget Trafford has joined LSEG as Chief Communications and Marketing Officer. My camping trip with my wife Cheryl has been extended by a day, and we are still in southern Illinois in the Shawnee National Forest. She has enjoyed the camping experience, which is good news. She has the advantage of having a former scoutmaster as a husband, who has been on more than 100 scout camping trips. Have a great day and stay safe, and treat people the same way that you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. Our next take comes from JLN Editor-in-Chief Sarah Rudolph, who writes, FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan made the following statement in reaction to the EC and ESMA decisions to formally grant temporary equivalence and recognition for clearinghouses based in the UK, which allow them to continue to provide clearing services in the EU at the end of the transition period between the EU and the UK. Quote, "Today's decision by ESMA and the recognition of UK CCPs, combined with the European Commission's adoption of time-limited equivalence, ensures financial stability, operational continuity, and market access for customers. During these uncertain times, it is imperative that businesses have access to clearinghouses and the risk-mitigating services they provide. FIA thanks the leadership shown by EC Executive Vice President Valdis Dombrovskis and ESMA Chairman Stephen Meyer in making these important determinations." Suzanne Cosgrove writes, "The STA's 2020 Market Structure Virtual Conference kicks off a busy fall conference season next week on October 7th and 8th. Speakers include Representative Bill Huizinga of Michigan, Dan Gallagher, Chief Legal Officer at Robinhood, Ed Tilley, Chairman and CEO of Cboe Global Markets, and others. More details can be found at securitytraders.org. And last but certainly not least, we've got my own takes for the day. First, the Bank of England and ESMA have agreed on an information-sharing deal, which was needed to allow some European banks to keep using London clearinghouses until June 2020. Cryptocurrency DeFi trading platforms are getting big, especially Uniswap, which now has more than $2 billion worth of digital assets locked in its protocol, the first DeFi platform to reach this milestone. Check out our newsletter for a link to that explanation. And also check out johnlothiannews.com for this week's edition of The Spread. This week's edition is entitled, The Spread, This Is How It's Done. This week on The Spread, record high $1 billion worth of Bitcoin options expire, the OCC publishes best practices and a plan for the future, and more. Let's move on to our top stories for the day. Matt Egan from CNN published a story entitled Wall Street is Shunning Trump. Campaign donations to Biden are five times larger. President Trump is promising four more years of low taxes, light regulation, and a laser focus on the stock market. Yet professionals on Wall Street are shunning Trump and funneling staggering amounts of money to his opponent. The securities and investment industry donated just $10.5 million to Trump's presidential campaign, and outside groups aligned with it, according to a new tally by Open Secrets. It has sent nearly five times as much cash, $51.1 million, to Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. John Lothian commented on the story saying, "Follow the money." Crane's editorial board published a story entitled Time to Lay a LaSalle Tax to Rest, Opinion. New Jersey's proposed tax on financial exchange transactions would likely send New York-based Nasdaq's massive data center business packing from the Garden State. There are lessons for us here. We can only hope that Chicago aldermen have the week of October 26 circled on their calendars. They might even want to be on hand that week to welcome part of the Nasdaq exchange business that's expected to come to town from the East Coast, that is, if they can find any outward sign of it. John Lothian comments, "As long as there are elections to run in, there will be proposals to tax the markets. There's too much campaign cash to extort by legal means." Sam Potter from Bloomberg published a story entitled Every Day Trader Dollar is Worth Five in a New Theory on Stocks. Day traders claiming bragging rights for this year's $9 trillion U.S. equity rebound can find some supporting evidence in the latest research. Even as retail trading has grown to represent 20% of daily volume, Wall Street has struggled to figure out how much of this modest-sized contingent actually influences prices. After all, the market is teeming with algorithmic funds, long-only managers, and more. But a fresh way to understand stock fluctuations via academics at Harvard University and the University of Chicago makes the effort a little easier. John Lothian comments, "Dumb money can be worth a lot." Paula Spann from the New York Times published a story entitled In Isolating Times, Can Robo-Pets Provide Comfort? When Linda Spangler asked her mother in a video chat what she would like as a gift for her 92nd birthday, the response came promptly. "I'd like a dog," Charlene Spangler said. "Is Wolfgang dead?" Wolfgang, a family dachshund, had indeed died long ago. So had all of his successors. Miss Spangler, who lives in a dementia care facility in Oakland, California, has trouble recalling such history. Jeff Bergstrom comments, "You still have to walk it or it'll leave batteries on the floor." Our top story from Friday, September 25th, was Crane's Chicago businesses, CME changes rules to smooth out trading. Second was Matt Gaetz accuses GOP's Kelly Loeffler of bribing Trump with $50 million to push out her rival, from Slate via Yahoo News. Third was the Financial Times, the prop trading that got away. This has been Matt Rabel filling in for John Lothian. Keep safe and have a great day.